Welcome back to Colossians chapter 3. As we move into the second half of the chapter, we're slowing down to spend some extra time in chapter 3, because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is how you live out your faith, and it comes in a little section that I call the ABA rule. Let me explain. If you've learned one thing from Colossians thus far, it should be this: Jesus is awesome. Seriously, every time you hear the name Jesus, you should just kind of whisper it. Awesome. In chapter 2, we were warned not to fall for any fine-sounding arguments that move us away from Jesus. We started in Christ and we continue in Christ, digging our roots directly into Him. In chapter 3, it's about who we are in Christ. We are made new. So we put to death the old self and put on the new, being renewed in the image of our Creator. That means more and more like Jesus. And that brings me to the ABA rule. Okay, this is a story worth telling, and has nothing to do with the American Basketball Association. Years ago, I was dropping off my daughter Daisy at her first day of school in the 8th grade. She had been homeschooled for 5 years, so this was big. On the way, I made small talk, but I was racking my mind for something profound to tell her, some inspiration for the first day of school. Right when she got out, I said, "Don't forget the ABA rule." "What's that?" "Always be awesome." Okay, so it was goofy, and I knew it, but I started telling her that every day. "Don't forget, ABA." And then one day I was reading Colossians, and it struck me. Jesus is awesome. He is the image of God, and in the most literal sense of the word, awesome. And we are being remade in His image. That means that our actions are supposed to reflect God: compassion, kindness, self-sacrifice, amazing love, and to sum it all up, awesome, like Him. And chapter 3 gives us the details on what that looks like. So let's pick it up at verse 12. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." I love that picture of clothing yourself with compassion. This is the fashion statement for the new self. For a lot of us, clothing is an expression of who we are. So let yours be kindness, humility, patience. Then verse 13, "Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." God's image shows through your kindness, but it shines through your mercy. Forgive because God forgave you. 14, "And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." What a great picture. Love is the knot that ties all the virtues together. Kindness and patience are beautiful things already, but love makes them personal. Love is the glue that holds God's family together. Verse 15 is an essential memory verse for anyone with anxiety. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace." Peace is a wonderful feeling. But Paul doesn't just say, "Feel peace in your heart." He says, "Let peace rule." Anxiety will show up. You're human. But when you are in Christ, anxiety has no right to rule. Jesus is in charge now, so let His peace have rightful authority and reign over all your emotions. Peace in your heart and peace in your relationships, because you were called to peace. A word of clarification for anyone who suffers from anxiety to the point of overwhelming. That is a very real mental health concern. And like any significant health concern, it's one that you should talk to a doctor about. You might be tempted to believe that if you have Jesus, you shouldn't need a doctor or medicine or prescription. But that's dangerous thinking, and the Bible doesn't say that. Anxiety disorder, depression, and other mental health struggles are very real health conditions, so treat them as such. And healthy eating, healthy living, and healthy thinking should all be part of your walk with God. And when necessary, a doctor or therapist, and yes, even medicine. Use wisdom, of course. And above all of that, as a believer, the rule over your heart and emotions belongs to Jesus. So let Him reign. How do you do that practically? Well, the very next thing Paul says is, be thankful. Gratitude is a gateway. Giving thanks is like opening a door to let peace enter your mind. And in verse 16, Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Now that's a great way to live. Let this message dwell. Make itself at home among you. That's you and other believers. Talk about it. Paul says, teach one another. Teaching is not a one-way street. Encourage, correct, and listen. Use wisdom. Use praise. Sing together. And always keep the attitude of gratitude. Now, if that sounds foreign to you, or maybe a little awkward, walking up to people and reading hymns, let me demystify it for you. First off, don't get weird. Read this a little too literally, and you'll be living in a musical. It's cool on stage, but awkward in real life. But do talk about God. Learn new stuff from the Word and talk about it with other people. Hey, check out what I learned today. You know, regular conversation. And when a line from a church song moves your heart, share that with a friend, in your dorm, at the dinner table, in the coffee room, wherever normal conversation happens. Recognize that your conversations are a foundational part of your life. So talk about the things you want to build your life on. Talk about God. Don't force it. Just make it natural. Want an easy plan? Just tell a friend, hey, let's both listen to Through the Word, and let's talk about it over coffee, or in the carpool, or use it for small group. Remember, church was never meant to be a spectator sport. Church is a fellowship. Now, it doesn't say get together to argue about it. That's missing the point. Chapter 4 will remind us to let your conversation be always with grace. That means speak to people better than they deserve, just like God speaks to you. Then verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So what does that mean? Well, remember that name is always associated with character. It's a lot like branding. If you run a company, you want people to associate the name of your company with good things: quality, integrity, trustworthy, and people's names work the same way. If you live with integrity, people associate your name with it, and they trust you. So Paul wants us to do everything, whether word or deed, in the name of Jesus. If you are a Christian, then Jesus has placed his name on you. His reputation, his branding, is staked on you. So live with his character. Whenever you act or speak, imagine that the name of Jesus just sort of echoes in people's ears. And when they hear Jesus' name with your actions, does it match? Do they hear that little whispered reminder? Jesus is awesome. So that's the ABA rule. Always be awesome, because you are awesomely and wonderfully made. Jesus says, be perfect. That used to throw me off, because I thought, how can I be perfect if I'm still in progress? But the word there is in the Old English sense of the word perfect. Perfect doesn't mean the best ever with no mistakes. Perfect means a completed work. In other words, let God complete his work in you. And be awesome, because you are being renewed in the image of an awesome creator.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.